What can I say about this?
Not a whole lot. That was a lot again. I loved her quote. Well, she didn't. I don't think it's really a quote, though. But if she didn't, no one would. The Woman in Coffee Project, how she's approaching buying coffee and going to Origin.
Mm-hmm.
Just these little, everyone you've talked to, they're just doing their little part, doing their little part. And it's becoming this huge wave of the right thing to do.
It's like people are really taking the initiative to try and do things after, and like it's always usually after many instances regarding men not taking an even humbler approach to what, how do I word this? This is really difficult. I have a lot of thoughts, but it's like battling bonkers in my head right now. And it's crazy because one, every woman I've interacted so far with has been genuine, has been authentic, has been real about all the subjects that I've been bringing up and discussing. But with Amaris specifically, it's like she has such a wholesomeness to her. And it's just so genuine. Like she has such a pure spirit towards what she's creating and what she's doing. And you can tell based off of how she is speaking and how she is explaining her points, it all comes from a place of good intention. And I think that each part of her story to get to the point where she is at is so valid and so amazing to see the journey and how much time has spanned for her in terms of the coffee industry and towards her heritage and towards her relationship with her grandmother, and then in turn what she wanted to create because of her choice to be inquisitive. She chose to want to constantly learn. She's been this way since she was young, to constantly learn and constantly gather information and question things and go out of her way and try and learn these things on her own, even when people are like, well, you don't really need to do that. And she was like, fuck that shit. Like, I'm going to learn more because I'm just like wanting to know. And that's led her to create such an amazing nonprofit towards promoting women in the industry and gender equity, as she kept reiterating, which is important in changing the systemic problems with gender. And of course, just in general, there's a lot of systemic issues politically. So, like, I think the root takeaway from this episode that I can get is to stay hungry for information, stay inquisitive. She likes to consider it her nerd personality, but I think as much as that has a role of its own, I think it's important to be hungry to understand, to learn. Don't take everything for face value. Question things and learn on your own. Take the time to really understand it and reach out to people who can give you even more insight and more information. Because at the end of the day, there's only so much you can learn from one person. There's only so much you can learn from one site. And only one interaction will only give you one biased perspective of what it is. I think her origin story was extremely poignant, and I think it had a specific emphasis in terms of communication. And this is why I love asking those stories, because it obviously leaves something impactful on you. Like, as much as I love to reiterate that I do not romanticize a lot of the efforts that go into the labor, that go into the struggles of being a coffee producer, I'm talking from a person-to-person perspective and how that makes you feel, that interaction that you have with them and what they're trying to explain to you, and that interaction you have with them being something on a personable level. It should carry throughout whatever you decide to do. And each part of her story has really led her to come together and make something beautiful for other people.
Well, and her, you're asking her, where does she want to be? What does she want to do? And everything up to this point it's now dawned on her, it's not enough. I need to do more. Her quote, creating the future you want to create.
Yeah.
What future does she want to create? And now I think she's starting to feel that itch to do something a little bit different. She still loves coffee. Coffee is in her veins.
She said she'd do it forever.
Right. But she knows there's more now. There's more.
I think that there's another part that I somehow emphasized also is the idea of women can't carry everything on their own. And I think once you've been doing something for as long as she has, she finds it just as equally important to support other women who want to make a difference. And especially with this kind of platform to broadcast that and broadcast a lot of the issues that are happening. So I think her branching out in terms of quality and gender and equity in that aspect is something totally new for her. It's still reiterating a lot of that need for gender equity and systemic change that is reiterated throughout the course of this episode.
And it's always interesting to know that I think the women you're talking to is they are first generation changers. Ooh. Modifiers.
First generation changers.
I don't hear them talking about that. I had a mentor to help me get. Yeah, she started this. I'm not hearing that. They're all paving the way, paving this journey that they may never see. I think they're seeing some good come from it, but they're doing it out of genuine, this has to change. Like she said, 600 years of this. Slavery, basically. That coffee should not be as cheap as it is. And it's going to be a rude awakening for consumers. For everyone, when that starts to change little by little, we may never see that in our generation. We might not, but it has to start somewhere. And it's such, again, going back to that creating the future that she wants to happen, but may never. I heard this quote just recently that someone that truly, an older person who truly believes in the future plants a tree. Because they're never going to see that tree come to fruition and grow up. But they're still planting trees as an 80, 90-year-old person.
I think there's something really powerful in the grandmother figure in every immigrant's life. The mother and the father have their own roles, but I think grandparents have such a primary and strong role in a lot of Latin Arabic culture. And it reiterates throughout the stories that we've been hearing. And I think it's just like the strength and unity within your heritage and embracing that and staying strong and true to it and learning how to love that and nurture that person is beautiful to hear about in terms of her experience. Like she had the chance to go to Nicaragua and meet and be with the person who was her role model and have her grandmother. And in that same scenario, in that same meeting, that's something so beautiful and meaningful. No one can take that away from her. And that's also something that she gets to keep and look fondly back on. And that's something that cannot be replicated. It can't be regenerated in any kind of way, because that's such a specific thing, specific relationships.
Agriculture has that thread. I think I grew up not necessarily in a farm family, but living in a farm area. And I think America is losing that base. You know, if you look back in history, we used to be very agricultural based. So you'd have that generation after generation and the grandparents' influence and such. And we're losing that. I think it's sad that we are because of what it is. But that I think these are good reminders of generational wealth of family. How important it should be, can be. And agriculture does have a strong tie to all this.
Yeah.
And you have it with coffee. It's been eye-opening for me. Every interview you have, how strong that not even realizing how important that is. Again, just as a consumer of coffee, you see a bag of coffee beans and you buy them. You don't know anything about where it came from.
The way that corporate America has really been able to disconnect human products with chain production, it's wild. how much we've been able to desensitize ourselves to a human experience that goes into creating products, which is why supporting local is so important, is because you're seeing the whole process from the ground up because of something that's happening in a smaller capacity versus like going to McDonald's or going to a grocery store and buying Folgers or whatever it is. You have no, absolutely no idea what goes into making any of that entire project, whether it's the packaging, the actual product itself. And it's like there's such a disconnect from that because it's so normalized in our society to just buy mass products of stuff out of convenience and profit and like consumer value versus supporting a lot of the local smaller places where, yeah, so what? You're going to be spending more on the product itself. But at least you know who you're benefiting. That person who's probably selling that product can tell you everything that goes into it. And there should be a huge amount of value in that. And you should, as a person, be able to see the monetary value that you're investing into that as well. The same thing goes for coffee.
Yeah, I liked how she was talking about how important that cupping process is and how...
Camilla said the same thing.
Same thing. That it's that take that job seriously, not in the sense of making it, cupping for the best taste. It's that you're affecting that family's income for possibly the next year.
That one kind of blew me.
Based on the wrong or the right notes.
Mm-hmm. Or like they can't get how much they want out of the product without waiting for your feedback. Yeah. Like waiting for your feedback so that they can make money off of what they're making. It's kind of wild.
Yeah. And I'm sure that some of that delay, she was by accident, but I wonder if that's a tactic that's done by more people than you realize that we're not going to get feedback because we're going to wait to the last minute and so we can get the price that we want. Where her not getting back was just by accident.
Isn't
she just
everything
didn't.
In some sense some type of form of manipulation
yeah.
for the person purchasing to get the best deal out of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sadly, yeah, but it's just so reverse engineered in this industry. Yeah, I think she has many more stories. She ought to be back. I do.
I think. Loved talking to her. She was just so easy to talk to, and she is the only person that's asked me about me. Which was really nice. I felt very much like I could be friends with her in real life kind of friendship. Like I could really see that blossoming into a friendship that I would learn so much from or feel comfortable being open with. So I think we're done.
Mm-hmm.
That was the longest podcast episode we recorded. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm going to let it roll down for a sec. Just in case, because when we always stop it, something happens. you know that. So your thoughts on do you want to keep that full episode as is?
Probably not.
I think there's a middle section there that was so good. But when you got to her origin travel... Boom.
I definitely
That's when it really started kicking.
I definitely don't want to take out her actual personal life story.
Right.
That I want to keep. As much as it's so not related to anything we talked about. I will say, out of this episode, this had barely any like content towards what we're creating. But I think
at the end it did though.
The
last 45 minutes maybe or half, I don't know. But when it started with the origin travel, that's really when it all flowed that origin travel.
Do you think the conversation flowed? Dang. Like the whole course of the conversation from when we started to the ending? Do you think that there were any parts where it just felt like off?
I'd have to listen to it again to kind of see, is there a part where, we could take that whole section out because not that it wasn't relative, but if we remove it, it makes the episode a bit shorter, which may be a bit more palatable for the listener. But I hate to throw anything away because everything made sense to what, you wanted to talk about. It may take a re-listen. and kind of, yeah, because it's hard to judge.
Yeah, where I definitely want an unedited.
Right, so exactly. It's hard to judge where you'd want to, if you want to, cut anything out of it without listening to it a few days later.
Did you see that there was a lot of remembrance from Camilla's episode in this? She kind of reiterated a lot of certain points that Camilla also represented.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that's the only thing I can think of. You know, the length of it, I don't care. You know, it is what it is. There could be a piece of it that you may say, you know, how about that little section there, because it kind of wandered off and then we bring it back.
I found it pretty interesting. I wonder if it's just like the effect of getting to know somebody like last like minute, but I found it very interesting how compelled she was to tell me her personal story on everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like she really genuinely wanted to. Because I remember I did ask one question and she's like, I'll answer that question. But back to what I was originally saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, did I cut her off?
Well, and the lack, you know, the listener can't see her reaction on the screen.
Right.
With the way she was holding herself. She was leaning in, hand on chin, like she would over a cup of coffee or a beer.
Yeah, I feel
so like. So she really was wanting to be here. Not that we didn't think she wasn't, but, you know, yeah, it kind of second half, it started to turn into, let's just really wrap now.
Yeah, I feel like she had to get a little bit like, let me know you can know me, and then that controversial.
Sure. Even though she has listened to the episodes that have been out so far, and obviously your voice reminded her of
somebody.
Right. I've got to do look into that as well, too. I'll have to listen to her and kind of go, ooh. That'd be weird to listen to another podcaster and go, that's me. I'm listening to me.
What's really funny, though, is like if you call me and my sister answers the phone, we sound the exact same.
Really?
Like no one can tell us the difference. So I feel like if I listened to the person she recommended, I'd be like, oh, how many of me's are there?
Yeah, we don't want that necessarily, right? Exactly. No, that's just so funny she brought that up, that you remind her of another person she listens to or has really enjoyed listening to. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say. Like, honestly, I think her story was enough of its own.
Yeah, I think
for
so,
me
too.
Not to have
I think
to really.
So too. And I there is a part where you talk here that at the end here, you know, in summary, I think that's how you started it. I think that's going to be a good way to end the full episode and then take the other pieces that we're doing here in post to do something. If you want to use this, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, okay.